Good evening, once again from 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church, and a warm word of welcome indeed to each and to every one as you're tuning in with us for our evening service. We are delighted you're joining with us once again, and it is our prayer that wherever you are this night, that you will know the Lord's blessing and you will know the Lord's presence even with you there in your own home. Just to run through the announcements at this stage for the incoming week, as we did mention this morning, all of our services in the week to come are completely online, and we do remind you of that, commencing tomorrow evening at 7:15 p.m. with our online children's meeting, and it will be broadcast on both our YouTube and our Facebook pages. And we do encourage you to continue to remember those efforts in prayer, that the Lord will see fit to bless them and to use them to speak to the children of this area. Our midweek Bible study meeting, which is usually here in the church, will also be online at 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And the will of the Lord, I'll be along to continue our study in the mountaintop experiences. As you remember, last week we finished with the death of Moses there upon Mount Pisgah. And this week we come to Joshua, and whenever Joshua is upon Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And so I encourage you to come and even spend this time with us on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. around God's precious word. For the members of our session, there is a presbytery meeting. We do remind you often Friday evening, and that will be online as well. And then our services next Sunday, the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. And they will be on our YouTube page only and exclusively. And we do encourage you to remember those services, to pray over them, to pray for them, and even plan to attend and to tune in to those broadcasts as they go live next Sunday. Now that brings to the end of our announcements this evening. We're delighted for our item of praise that one of our young brethren and one of our young brothers from our congregation here, Mr. Stephen Anderson, he's double jobbing as it were tonight because he's part of our media team here in the church, and we're also asking him to sing at this time. So he's going to come forward now. He's going to sing from the lectern just below the pulpit, one piece at this time. Thank you.
My Father's world, why should let the heavens ring. God reigns, let earth be God. This is my Father's world. God reigns, let earth be glad.
Let's say a word of thanks to our brother Stephen for bringing that beautiful message and song to us. And it is a joy to know that we are living in God's world, that God is on the throne, and God is in control of all things. We're going to unite our hearts in prayer at this stage once again, and we're going to look to the Lord for his blessing and for his help even upon our service this evening. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thee, coming into thy most holy presence in and through that precious name that is above all other names. We do rejoice at the name and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. We thank thee, O God, even for the revelation of thyself to us. We thank thee, O God, that when Christ entered into this world, that plan was already in place, even down to the very name that he was to be given. We think of that time whenever the angel appeared to Joseph. That command was given, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We thank thee, O God, that we're coming before this night, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, and the all-powerful God, the one who created all things out of nothing in the space of 6 days, and all very good. We thank thee that thou art the God who is in control of all things. We look around the world today, and we look even over the course of this year, and yet we rejoice that we are coming before a God who knew the end from the beginning, who knew exactly what this year would bring to each and to every one. And O God, we confess afresh this evening that our confidence, our faith, and our trust is in thee and in thee alone. And even at the even time of thy day, we do pray once again that thou wilt enable us and that thou wilt accept our worship to thee. That thou wilt cleanse us, O God, that thou wilt cleanse our hearts, that thou wilt give us clean hands and a pure heart, even as we come to worship thee, that we may not sin against thee, but rather that we might ascend into the hill of the Lord, that we might stand in the holy place. O God, we do thank thee already for being with us throughout this day. We thank thee for help given this morning and for watching over us and even undertaking for the online broadcast. We do pray once again that thy help will be given to us this evening, that thou wilt bless, O God, in the proclamation of thy word, that thou wilt bless in the reading of that word, that thou wilt bless in the singing, that thou, O God, wilt undertake and wilt draw near to us. O Father, we pray for help from on high. We pray for the speaking voice of the Lord to each and to every one, that thou, O God, wilt draw near, that thou wilt work in hearts, that thou wilt even now prepare the hearts to receive thy word. O Father, draw near to us as a people. Draw near to this area, we ask thee. O Father, may there be those unsaved that are gathering in, even tonight, into this broadcast. May there be those, O God, that are still strangers to grace and to God, that will come under conviction this night, that will hear their need of salvation, and that they will turn to thee and put their faith and their trust in thee. O God, we rejoice that no man and no woman is beyond salvation. Even as we come once again to consider the city of Antioch and what thou didst do there, an evil, wicked den of iniquity, and yet thou didst draw many people unto thyself. O God, we pray that in the days in which we live, when wickedness is abounding on all sides, that the grace of God would yet more abound, that many precious souls will be won for Jesus Christ, that many men and women will be stopped in their tracks and will be turned away from sin and turned toward the Savior. Lord, do remember each one this night. Remember every family. Remember every individual. Remember every individual, a circumstance, and Lord, the paths and the journeys that each one is going through at this time. Oh Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt just meet them at the very point of their need. Remember the children, remember the young, the middle-aged and the elderly alike. Oh Lord, draw near to each one. Bless them and do them good, we pray. Encourage their hearts this night. Remember, as the gospel is going forward, right across our land and even further afield. O Lord, for souls we pray. For those backsliders we cry unto Thee. For Thy children to be encouraged we ask Thee. O God, come amongst us and breathe upon us and glorify Thy Son. Lift Him high this night once again, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're turning once again to the book of Acts and the chapter number 11. The book of Acts and the chapter number 11, we want to read those verses again that we read last week, commencing at the verse 19. The book of Acts and the chapter 11, we're returning again this evening to consider the church in Antioch. And we want to read these verses from verse 19 until the end of the chapter. So Acts chapter 11 and the verse 19. And the word of God says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Venice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them called Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Amen. And may God once again write His own word upon each and upon every heart this evening. I'm going to ask our brother Stephen to come once again and to bring his second piece in song to us. Thank you.
Abide with me.
my closing eyes shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Hem's morning breaks and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
Amen. I do want to thank our brother Stephen for coming this evening, not only to be part of the online production, as it were, but also to minister in song for us tonight. Let's open our Bibles and let's have them open during the preaching, even in Luke or in Acts, and the chapter 11 once again, please. And as I said, we return this evening to look once again at Antioch, the Christian church. Antioch, the Christian church. Let's have a moment's prayer, please, as we come around God's word. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. And O God, that is the prayer of our heart, even as our brother has just sang, that thou wilt yet abide with us. Lord, even in the eventide, as we come to the evening service, as we are here and we are gathered around thy word at this point, oh, that thy presence will be a felt reality by each and by every one. Thy power, O God, will be upon the preacher and upon the hearer, like that thou wilt be stirring hearts even through the proclamation of thy word. O Father, teach us afresh from thy word. Draw us ever closer to thee. Lord, work in our hearts. Sanctify us even by the means of grace that thou hast given to us. Lord, hear our prayers this night. Glorify thy precious name. May Christ be uplifted and hide us far behind the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we return once again this evening to consider and to continue to study the work of the Lord upon the city and upon the church in Antioch. As we began to look at it last week, what happened in Antioch cannot be described outside of the will and the control of Almighty God. It is the third largest city in the Roman Empire at this stage. A city which was bustling with much trade, with much merchandise and merchants coming and going through it. All of its advancements in regards to society, regards to culture, regards to technology. It was a great city in those days, but yet it was a city of much darkness and much wickedness. And yet it's into that setting, it's into that city that God stepped down. And nothing and no one could stop the advancement of the gospel. Didn't matter that it was part of the Roman Empire. Didn't matter that it had all of that trade and all of the power of commerce and all of the great cultural side and technological side to it. When God stepped down, the gospel advanced and everything else had to stop. What was said of Paul, or to Paul, by the Lord in Acts 18 and 10 in regards to the city of Corinth could rightly be attributed also to Antioch. Antioch, which was a city that God had much people in it. We began to look in closer detail at that Gentile church and its infancy there in Antioch last Sunday evening. And as I said last week, I said again this evening as we begin, there is only one true church of Jesus Christ. There is only one body that the Lord is head over. And what can be said and what will be said again of Antioch this evening ought to be able to be said of any true Christian church. Any band of believers that gather together, having been saved by the precious blood of Christ and drawn together into that fellowship, it ought to be able to be said of them what is going to be said of Antioch. That applies whether they be here in Northern Ireland. It applies whether they be further afield, maybe over in the mainland, or even in the outermost parts of the earth. Every true church of Jesus Christ is the exact same under the one head, Jesus Christ. Last week we began by noting the first two of the features that we want to bring before you. We began by noting the grace of God towards the church. There was the salvation of souls. There was the formation of the church. There was the adoration of the things of God. There was the devotion towards one another. All of those coming as a direct result of God's grace. Then we also noted the growth in the church. We considered both the numerical and indeed the spiritual growth and how both of them are important. And both of them are gifts of God to the church. And whilst we long for God to move, whilst we long for God to give us the increase and to enable the church to grow numerically, we also strive to see the believers built up in their most precious faith. This evening, we'll continue on in our journey through this. We'll continue to look at the features. We'll look at another three of them this evening. And the first of them being the gladness in the church. The gladness in the church. It tells us in verse 23, speaking of Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. You know, Barnabas is sent down by the church in Jerusalem on a fact-finding mission. He's sent down to ascertain exactly what has happened and to ascertain exactly what was currently happening in Antioch. They have heard the news. They have heard these reports coming up to them of a great move of God amongst the Gentiles. And so Barnabas is dispatched by them. He is of Cyprus himself, and he comes down to that city of Antioch, and he observes everything that is going on and everything that is before him, and that joy that fills within his heart, that gladness that is overflowing. My, there's that great joy when he sees what God has done. There's that great joy whenever he sees those that were in darkness are now walking in light. There's that great joy when he sees those that were the sons of the devil and his master having the devil over them, and now they're under the master of God. They're under King Jesus. My, certainly Barnabas could say with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 126 and the verse 3, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Barnabas is rejoicing. And I believe the church is rejoicing. Joy is abounding in all sides at that time. And Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that one that is always set apart as being the encourager, that one that we strive even to emulate to encourage others within the church, when he comes to Antioch, he's simply overwhelmed with gladness. You know, one of the characteristics that even is a theme that runs through many of the features of the church of Antioch is that of humility. And I believe the gladness even that Barnabas is experiencing, and the gladness that he had even flowing in that joy that is brimming within his heart, I believe that shows forth the humility of the man. Barnabas came down, he saw everything that was going on, and he was rejoicing. And yet there's not one aspect of that work in Antioch, there's nothing that had happened up until that point that he could put his finger on and say, "That's because of me." There's not one feature, there's not one aspect, there's not one soul that was saved that Barnabas could say, "Oh, that's because of what I did." You know, there are some who only ever seem to be happy. This involves both outside and indeed inside in the church circles. It involves in the secular world as well. There are some people that are only ever happy with the progress if it's actually because they're involved in it. Some have that mentality that if I'm not a factor in the success, then it's nothing to get excited about. If it's not down to my efforts, if it's not down to the part that I played, then why would I ever get excited? Why would I ever have any joy? Why would I have ever any excitement over it? But not Barnabas. Barnabas had absolutely no part in what happened in the formation of that work. Barnabas had absolutely no part in the salvation of any of those souls, and yet Barnabas is rejoicing. Alexander McLaren, he wrote and he said, "A true man will rejoice to find that the dew of God's blessing falls in the pastures of the wilderness." Child of God, may that be our testimony, that we ever rejoice in the Lord's work. whether it be here in Six Mile Cross or whether it be further afield, whether it be in the missionary reports that our missionaries and different ones come in the deputation times to show us the work that's going on around the world. And we hear of souls being saved. We hear of the church being increased. And even if it's other churches in our locality or if it's other churches in different counties or different areas and we hear of souls being saved, may we ever rejoice and give thanks to the Lord. God is saving souls. God is being glorified. Now I think of the testimony of the angels that's given in Luke 15 and 10. It tells us there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now you think in heaven of the joy that there is of one simple person being brought out of darkness into light, and yet the angels rejoice. May that ever be the case for the Church of Jesus Christ. May that ever be the case for each and every believer, that the joy is there within the church, that the joy is there within the heart. Now we simply count the blessings, we name them one by one, we look upon the blessings, we look upon the dealings of the Lord, we look upon the dealings in His work, we simply come and we say with the psalmist in Psalm 118 and 23, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Barnabas, he came down to that city of Antioch and everything he saw, he just said, it's all of the Lord. It's wonderful. He was glad. There was gladness in the church. But then to verse 23 also, I want you to see the guidance for the church. The guidance for the church. Because Barnabas, after he's seen the grace of God and was glad, tells us he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas, when he has come down to them, whilst rejoicing and whilst glorifying the Lord and whilst rejoicing with the believers, as they even testified and gave their testimonies of how the Lord has saved them, yes, he rejoiced with them, he gave thanks, he praised the Lord, but he also saw their need for help. He also saw their need for guidance. You see, the truth is that they still were living in the city of Antioch. Even though they were saved, it didn't mean that they packed their bags and they moved out of the city and they just went and became this little hamlet to themselves. They were still living in the world. They were no longer off the world, but they were still in the world. They still had to live in that city of Antioch. That great city with much temptation. That great city with all of the worldly pleasures around about it. Indeed, cartoons that were depicted in those days and drawn in those days depicted Antioch as a sewer with the pipes flowing into it from the east and the west. Such was the sin that was in it. In other words, they saw it just as a cesspit of sin. Barnabas realized how susceptible they were. And even there in their infancy, in their young days in the faith, how the devil would be busy seeking to destroy them, and seeking to wreck their testimonies. And so Barnabas, instead of just seeing all of the progress and seeing the souls that were saved and rejoicing and then just returning to Jerusalem and telling them, look, the church is set up, it's going wonderful. No, he sets about and he says, I'm staying. You need me. You need the word of the Lord. And so he begins and he exhorts them that with purpose of heart they would cleave on to the Lord. In other words, what Barnabas does is he begins a ministry. He sets about teaching those people and highlighting to them, brethren and sisters, you're now in Christ. And those things of the world, you need to take your eyes completely off them. And yes, temptations will come. Yes, the devil will attack. Yes, there'll be the trials, there'll be the hardships, there'll be those that will come against you. There'll be all of the allurement of the world. But child of God, cleave unto the Lord. Only look upon Christ. I believe he would have begun by highlighting and pointing them to the cross. teaching them much as he knew and was he was able to do. Show them the suffering of Christ for their sin. Brethren and sisters, how important it is that even in our walk with the Lord, as we journey through this life, that we ever come back to the cross. That we ever have our fixed eyes fixed upon our Savior. That we ever consider His sufferings. Because His sufferings were for us. His sufferings upon the cross, the shedding of His blood, the endurement of the wrath of God for sin. It was for our sin, not His. The more that we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the more that we consider what Christ did for us, and what Christ endured for us, the more that we will ever seek to live for Him. I believe He would have taught them much of the suffering of Christ. I believe also He would have taught them much of the beauty of Christ. You see, our Savior is the brightest, the ray of the sun. He is the one that shineth forth with glory. He is the brightness of the glory, even as it tells us in Hebrews 1. There's no fairer one than Christ. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's a lily of the valley. My, the beauty that's found in Christ, the perfection that's found in Christ. The love of Christ, the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the care of Christ, the adoration of Christ, the love of Christ, the will even of Christ to serve His Father. And we could go on and we could go on. That's what Barnabas is doing even as he comes and he tells him, cleave to the Lord. You'll find everything you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, is not the reality this evening. Everything you need for this world and everything you need as you journey through this life, you'll find it all in Jesus Christ. We're not to be like Peter when he was a disciple. You think of that occasion when Peter was walking or in the boat and Christ came to them. He said, Lord, if it be Thou, then bids me come down even unto Thee. And he steps out of that boat, and his eyes are fixed upon Jesus, and he looks upon his Savior, and he sees Him, and in faith he's walking wave after wave. He's stepping that course even towards Christ. And then those waves come up. And the wind is howling, and all of the distraction is there. And Peter, he takes his eyes off the Lord. He looks at the waves. He begins to sink. Barnabas doesn't want that to happen for the church in Antioch. He knows that there will be times of hardship. He knows that there will be times of trial. He knows there will be times of attack. And his plea is to them, his exhortation is to them, look to Christ. Cleave to Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. You know, every single believer, preacher included, we need guidance in our Christian walk. We need guidance in our Christian lives. We need to be under the preaching of God's Word. We need to be under the instruction of God's Word. We need to be in the book. You know, some have the view that as long as you're saved, then you just disappear. That's all you need. You don't ever need to come to church. You don't ever need to hear God's Word preached. You don't ever need to hear it expounded. There are some Christians and they'll never accept guidance or instruction. You just say, look, I made a decision for Christ. Now I'm going to live my life and I'm never going to have anything to do with anyone. Well, look at the church in Antioch. Because here these believers gathered together, saved out of sin. Barnabas comes down to them. He's an outsider. He's not from their city. He's not one of them in terms of culture. And yet this outsider comes down into their city. He settles with them. He stays with them. And he begins to preach to them. And they accept his teaching and they accept his guidance. You know, once again, humility. It takes a humble spirit to accept that this was a man sent from God to teach them. It takes a humble spirit to acknowledge the gifts of God in him. And certainly those gifts are highlighted in verse 24. It tells us he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And these people, they never had that haughty spirit. They had the humble spirit. They looked upon Barnabas. They listened to his teaching. They saw the walk that he had. They saw the love of Christ that he had. They saw the filling of the Holy Ghost that he had. And they turned to him and they listened to him. And they believed this was not just a man come to nosy in their dealings. This was a man sent of God to teach them and to lead them. No, it's certainly a wonderful testimony that's given off Barnabas in the verse 24. He was a good man. My, what a blessing it was even for him to be full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Something that we should all be striving to have in our Christian walk. Now we are daily filled with the Holy Ghost afresh. Now we walk by faith, and that faith is ever growing within us. And the gifts and the great words, as it were, that are said about Barnabas continue into the verse 25. Because verse 25, it says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul." I believe verse 25 also shows us the character of the man. Because we learn at the end of verse 24, much people's added on to the Lord. The church is continuing to grow. That mushroom effect within the church is continuing. Many souls are being saved. And Barnabas is looking and he understands one thing. And in his humility and that humble spirit that he realizes, I can't do this alone. There's simply too much work for one man in this church. You see, Barnabas wasn't in it for the fame. Barnabas wasn't in it for the self-glory. He wasn't in it for the prestige of having the biggest church in the denomination. Barnabas looked around and he saw and he was rejoicing. The gladness was there. Souls are being saved. They're continuing to be saved. This church is growing. And he realizes, I am only one man and I'm not here for myself. I'm here for those people. And I know my limitations and I can see their need. And so in accordance with God's will, he goes and he gets Saul and Tarshish. See, Saul's time of waiting is now over. He's been in Tarshish for a number of years, waiting for the door to be opened for him. And Barnabas himself goes and gets Saul. You can just imagine that reunion as he enters into that house, that place where Saul is. And he says, "Saul, I need you. The Lord's work needs you. Saul, we need to go to Antioch. There's much people being added on to the church." And Saul just packs his bag and immediately goes. There's humility in Barnabas. But there's also humility in Saul. Even though Saul's the one who was trained in the Arabian desert by the Lord himself. Even though Saul's the one that has seen the Lord face to face. As of one born out of due time, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 8 it tells us. Yet when he comes to Antioch, he's part of the leadership, he's part of the oversight of the church. He comes as the assistant to Barnabas. He doesn't come and take over. He follows Barnabas' leading. Now that's a wonderful aspect, that's a wonderful characteristic within the church, that here is Barnabas and Saul, and they're coming back to that work in Antioch, and it's not a case of who can become number one. It's not a case of who's the greater of the two. The two of them are there, they're working together, it tells us. It says there in that verse, it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They come back to Antioch together to work together for the benefit of the people. As I say, even though Saul's teaching, even though his doctrine, even though his understanding, even though his Bible college days, as it were under the greatest teacher of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't come with a haughty spirit and say, I know more than you do. And I've more training than you do. No, Saul comes to that place with Barnabas and he's saying, we're working together. Indeed, Saul is Barnabas's assistant. Because you notice the way in the verse 30 that the two are described. It tells us in the verse 30 it's Barnabas and Saul. You go over to chapter 13 in the verse 2. The Holy Ghost even says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Verse 7 of chapter 13, Barnabas and Saul. Then you go to verse 13. By this stage, in the verse 9, Saul's name is changed to Paul. In the verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his company. And in the verse 43, it tells us Paul and Barnabas. You see, Saul started out as the assistant to Barnabas. He started out, as it were, under that understudy place. He had that understanding. I'm working with you. I'm going to follow in your steps. What you've already started, I'm here to assist. I'm here to help. You know, it reminds me of the Old Testament. Moses had Joshua. Elijah had Elisha. And even though Joshua was the understudy to Moses for 40 years, even though Elisha was the understudy to Elijah for 10 years, yet they never overstepped their mark until the Lord said, now you go and do this. You see, it's so important in the work of the Lord, it's to understand it's never about the personalities. It's about the person of Christ. The work of the Lord is not about fame. It's about faith. And that humility in the work of the Lord and guiding a people is still vital today. God help us from ever elevating self. God help each and every one of us from ever blowing our own trumpets and seeking to get up some kind of ladder and to move up as if we are some great and wonderful thing and we're God's gift to the church. May we ever have the attitude of John the Baptist. That he must increase. And I must decrease. You know, Barnabas' message to the people in the end of verse 23. To cleave on to the Lord. It reminds the people, it reminds the church. That they were nothing without the Lord. Reminded the church that they were nothing without the Lord. And certainly you can say and we can see that Barnabas practiced what he preached. Because he cleaved to the Lord himself. And in everything he did in the service for the Lord and that church, he did it with humility. He guided the people with humility. He worshipped with humility. He taught with humility. May that be the case even as us, as God's children in this day. As we guide and we seek to help each one. And we have even that spirit of Barnabas. That spirit of Saul. We have had the gladness and we've had the guidance. One final point I want to leave with you this evening, the verse 26. I want you to see the gathering together. The gathering together. The verse 26, it says, it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. There was a common desire for every Christian in that church in the city of Antioch to come together and to meet together around God's word. There was a desire to hear preaching. There was a desire to sing together. There was a desire to pray together. There was a desire to break bread in the act of communion together, to remember the Lord's death until he come. There was a desire to have fellowship together, to have those bonds of friendship, even one with another. There was a desire to be in the church. There was a desire to be with the church. Some people over the years, and I remember even when I was a lot younger, there was a family just outside of Clock Mills. The man never came into the church. He saw no need to be part of the visible church. And some people have that idea that you can just worship at home. You never actually need to come into the building. You never actually need to gather with those of like precious faith. You never actually need to have any corporate worship. As long as you're saved, you can just stay at home. You don't have to identify with anyone. You don't have to be with anyone. My friend, that's wrong. It's unscriptural. It's unChrist-like. Christ is the head of the church, and he has promised to attend every meeting that this church has. He promised in Matthew 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, maybe I'm speaking to one tonight who hasn't attended the corporate worship of the Lord for years. And I'm not even talking because of a medical problem. I'm setting aside all of the physical restrictions in relation to even coming together in these days in which we're living, and setting aside all things to do with coronavirus and people shielding. I'm setting aside all of those things. I'm saying not a physical problem. I'm talking about those with a spiritual problem. I'm talking about those with a heart problem. A heart problem towards the Lord. Men and women, the gathering together for public worship is essential to every believer throughout their lives. To partake of the means of grace that God has given to us is essential to our spiritual well-being. We are to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but rather we are to be glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. These believers in Antioch, they never stopped meeting together. Not one of them, and they all gathered together. They met with Barnabas, they met with Saul. They assembled themselves together with the church, in the church. They never stopped meeting with Barnabas and Saul, and Barnabas and Saul never stopped meeting with them. They saw the value of it. They saw the importance of it. They knew and they understood they were to come away from the world. They were to have those special times with the Lord himself. Didn't matter whether they were just saved or had been saved from the very beginning of the work there in Antioch, they gathered together. In other words, it didn't matter if they were the more mature Christians or those just had been saved the very last week. They gathered together. They came into that place of worship. They came together with that desire to praise the Lord, to study his word. Thomas Goodwin, he said, in public worship, all should join together. The little strings go to make up a concert as well as the great ones. Never see yourself as too insignificant to come and to worship the Lord. Never see as if, oh, nobody's going to miss me if I'm not there tonight. The Lord misses everyone. Whenever we have that mentality, oh, I don't need to go tonight. I was there last week, or I was there this morning. I don't need to join. They're not going to miss one, or they're not going to miss two people from the pew. The Lord looks for his people every time. And the Lord longs for all of his people to be gathered together. I know that each one of us would ever see the importance of gathering together. I trust throughout this year, even because of these lockdowns, that long one earlier in the year for all of those months, and even this time once again when unfortunately the doors have had to be closed, I trust that ever it will burn within us the importance of being in this house. And the importance of your effort being made every single time to come into this house. Not just to be a Sunday morning only, not just to be a 1 in 3 or 1 in 4, but rather to have that desire burning within you every single time to gather with God's people. Oh, that there would be that heart change even towards the gathering together for worship. These believers in Antioch, they assembled themselves together. And Barnabas and Saul had the joy of teaching much people. Their hunger was for the word. Their hunger was for the worship. And my, what a church and what a time it was. Souls were being saved. Believers being built up. We're going to leave it there for this evening. Next Sunday evening, God willing, we're going to come back to consider once again and for the final time the church in Antioch. Because I want to highlight next week the grief that the church endured and also the giving that the church was involved in. But brethren and sisters, may I encourage you even to consider this church in Antioch as a whole. In the light of God's word, may we ever examine ourselves. May we have that grace of God within us. May there be that spiritual growth. May there be that numerical growth. May there be that gladness within the church. Oh, that may there be that guidance and the gathering together. We're going to close there. I want to thank you as always for joining with us. Pray that wherever you are, that the Lord will bless you and even continue to speak through his word this evening. We're just going to bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee, O God, for the instruction that thy word gives. We thank thee for what thou didst do there in the city of Antioch. Bringing that band of people even together, bringing them out of darkness into the light of the gospel, uniting them in Christ and uniting them with Christ. We thank thee, O God, even for thy servants who went and to minister to them, who gave of their time and their effort to lead them, to guide them, and to teach them the things of God. And, O Father, we do rejoice that that church was a glowing and a shining light even in that city, and indeed right across the world at that time. And it was a place where men and women could turn to and could see the hand of God upon it. And O Father, we pray for each and every one that has heard thy word this night. We pray that it will be the testimony of each one that they are cleaving unto the Lord, that they are uniting even in their turning away from everything and keeping their eyes firmly fixed upon Christ, that each and every day that they will see more of the beauty of Christ, that each and every day that they will see more even of the sufferings of Christ on their behalf. God, continue to speak. Bless each one in the days that lie ahead. Bless, O God, and undertake for our land. Glorify thy Son. In his name we pray. Amen.